So, Deuteronomy. Well, I've stepped into Mike Beaumont's shoes. We do have Mike coming back to us in November. Mike, very sadly, has had to go to China because a church that he oversees over there, the pastor's son, very sadly passed away. And he's going over to take the funeral and support. So I just wanted to very quickly, in the time I've got, touch on Deuteronomy. Okay? And if I could summarize the book of Deuteronomy, and you may know I've put these words together like this in this order for Deuteronomy, but I would call it God's love story. In fact, as I've read through the Torah, these first five books of the Bible, actually I see the love of God just permeate all the way through them, creating man, breathing life in, creating a people for himself who he rescues in the most miraculous way. And then in Deuteronomy, there's this call to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And we know alongside that, there's also a call to love people. So what I want to do very quickly in the time I've got is summarize three key points out of Deuteronomy. Number one, and we've heard it, and Matt picked it up last week, actually not in what he said, in how he started, the sound of God's faithfulness. Who's heard that sound over the last few weeks? Yeah, lots of us. The sound of God's faithfulness. God is a faithful God, and he calls the people back. So Deuteronomy is a book all about Moses, before the people entered the land, saying to them, stop. Before we go in, let's just remind ourselves of who God is and how faithful he has been. Because, guys, when we cross over this river, and as we enter, and obviously Moses didn't go with them at that time, but he did later. Bear with me. It was after he was dead. And he appeared on the mountain. Do you remember? And, you know, this is with Jesus. But he said to the people, guys, let's just remind ourselves of the faithfulness of God. Because when you cross over there, he's still going to be with you. But you're going to face things. You're going to face walls. You're going to face people. You're going to face situations that will challenge your faith. But it occurred to me that actually, have we really got a handle on what faithfulness is? God's faithfulness. It's one of his characteristics. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is Exodus 34, where Moses says to God, God, would you show me your glory? And he kind of places Moses in this cleft in the rock, and the glory of God passes before Moses. Do you remember what he says? He kind of cites his character. And one of the things he says is that he is faithful. God is faithful. It's part of who he is. Now, if you say that word out in the world, faithful, there'll be lots of people who kind of just shake their head at you and say, people aren't faithful. People have been disappointed in relationships that have broken down because people haven't been faithful. People who have been let down by people in their work who have said one thing and not been faithful. The word faithful is hugely significant. When we talk about God's faithfulness, we are talking about the constancy of God. Just listen to that sound, the constancy of God in his relationship with his people. You know, God is God, in contrast to all that isn't God, all that is not God. But he's also God because he is faithful. He is faithful in keeping his promises in a way that no one else is. And therefore, he is worthy of our trust. So this morning, when we're talking about God being a God of miracles, a God who promises things, we can put our trust in God in a way that we can't with anyone else, because that's his nature. He is faithful. He's described, like I said earlier, as a rock, a secure object of trust. And here's my Mike Beaumont moment. Are you ready? Hebrew. Because the root words which we're given to express the quality of God's nature and activity, which are neamen and amen, they are used to describe something that is secure, something which has firmness, something which supports. And like I described earlier, Isaiah 60, like a child carried securely, like a well-formed house in 1 Samuel 2, a wall which you can securely knock a nail into, knowing it's not going to fall out. A kingdom firmly established. These are firm things. And that word firmness is used to describe the faithfulness of God. And Moses urges the people in Deuteronomy, guys, this is no ordinary God. This is a God who has been faithful. And one of the things that we have to remind ourselves on in Deuteronomy is God is not talking to the generation that came out of Egypt. He's talking to the next generation who are going to take the land. Because the generation that came out of Egypt died in the desert. Because of their unfaithfulness and their unbelief, God said, you'll never enter the land. That's why they wandered for 40 years. God is talking to the next generation. He's reminding the next generation of the faithfulness of God. And I want to just remind you of some of the things that they saw. They saw the plagues of Israel. Not the younger generation, the older ones. The younger ones heard about them. They heard the stories of the sea being split and the nation walking through on dry land. That's what the Bible says. They heard the story of the rock being struck by Moses and water coming out. The story, and they will have known this, of God saying, I will provide for you every morning and every evening for 40 years. It's estimated that there was close to maybe over 1 million people. Some people say up to 2 million people by the end of the 40 years, with their animals. God provided enough water for them, enough food for them. You know, if you are looking for provision, just think of that for a moment. God is a God who provides. If you're looking for a miracle, God is a miraculous God. And I know lots of you are. You're walking in situations where you need breakthrough. Moses reminds the people of the goodness of a miraculous God. And we need to do that ourselves, because I have seen miraculous things in my life where I can say, I know because I know because I know that was God. Let me tell you some of them. Just like Moses recounted to the people the stories, these, I call them anchor points. Do you remember when people climb up the rock face, they knock in anchor points. And then they climb up a bit more and they knock in another anchor point. So if you ever fall, you only fall as far as your last anchor point. You don't come crashing all the way down. And for me, my anchor points are these moments when I saw God move. Standing with Heidi and Jez Gledhill and Alad Griffiths in a queue waiting to be prayed for people with bad backs because of short legs. And we stood round, the four of us, and I must say, was it Roger Cole? As Roger Cole prayed, I had my eyes wide open. I wasn't letting her leg out of my sight. Because Roger got this gift at the time where he prayed for people and literally their legs grew there in front of them. And honestly, I was a little bit skeptical. Okay, to the point of joking around, okay, because I was kind of in the queue with everyone else with my leg like this. Come on then, Roger. Make this one grow. You know, joking about. We got there, stood round and watched, and he prayed. And he held her legs, and clearly one was shorter than the other one, and Heidi had suffered for years with a bad back. As he prayed, we watched as Heidi's leg just went choom, and grew. And I just kind of looked at the other guys and we were like, did that just happen? And ever since that moment, actually on the way back from the conference that we were at, Heidi had started to get back pain again. And we were like, come on, Lord, is this really, did we really see this? Did this really happen? And God said to her, look at the hills. And it was February and there was snow on the hills, but just a bit on the tops. And God said, it's just a remnant. It's just a remnant. It will go just like the pain will go. And Heidi's leg grew and has been healed. I remember going out onto the streets during the turning with Katie. And we prayed for a guy. We broke all the rules. We spent a full hour with this guy. Lovely guy called John. And when we got to him, he had a hand out like this with some tablets in it. And he had a bottle of water like this. And we kind of came up to him and we just started a conversation with him. And during the course of the conversation, God really touched his heart. Reminded him of actually that he'd become a Christian, a Billy Graham thing in 1960-something. And as we talked to him and as we just delighted in being with him, God intervened. And we prayed for him for healing for his shoulder, which is why he had the painkillers. And an hour later, we left him going, what just happened? Is this real? Because he had no pain. God had touched him. You know, I've been looking for him ever since. He didn't have a phone number because he lived in a kind of old people's home, and he was that generation, excuse me, that didn't have mobile phones and he had no access to the phone in the old people's home. But God touched him. I know that for certain. Stories that stir our faith. You know what? Some of the best times I've had is with people as we've shared our stories. Stories that stir faith, that secure our anchor points. I remember part of my journey, actually, to being filled in the Spirit 20 years ago. Church of England background, like some people here. And I'd never really encountered anything of the Spirit of God. And one of the things that really impacted me on the journey actually was Heidi's dad. Oh, I can't see there. And his stories of faith. The stories he told of growing up when raising three children on his own as a single dad in the 70s, of seeing God move miraculously. Provision, including the story of the car which should have run out of petrol a week ago. And when he came to fill it up, the tank was already full. That's an anchor point, isn't it? That's one of those moments where you go, there had to be God. Just like Moses is reminding the people, he split the sea. He broke the rock open. These are their stories. It had to be God. So what are your stories, church? What are your stories? Stories of faith. Stories of encouragement. Because they encourage. And I want to encourage the next generation. Just in the same way that I was encouraged. Just in the same way that Moses encouraged that generation. Because it stirs faith. Because you know what? I don't want them just living in the hope of my story. I want them taking our stories and building faith and going, you know what? I'm going to do more. I'm going to do more. Vic's story of those three tribal warriors sent on that dark night. I don't know whether they were angels or whether they were men. But this I know, God sent them. God sent them. And talking privately to Vic, he's like, Vic doesn't make a big thing of this sort of thing. But he's like, every single one of us as a group, you know, bearing in mind some of these guys train the SAS in sort of bush warfare. These are good guys. These are guys you want to be on a hillside in Kenya with when you're lost in the dark, when the hyenas. These guys said, we couldn't have done that. We couldn't have done that. Stories that stir our faith. So what are yours? And when was the last time you reminded yourself and encouraged yourself and you thanked him for what he did and how he was there? When was the last time you encouraged someone else with one of your stories of faith? Don't listen to that whisper that people aren't bothered, that they don't want to know. It's a lie. When was the last time you encouraged the next generation with one of your stories? And as I thought about this, I thought, you know what? Let's do that this week in our small groups. Just as part of it, as you get together this week, why don't you share some of your stories of faith, some of those anchor points that you have, and see what it does for you and your small group. And the last thing I just want to talk very briefly about from Deuteronomy is the love story bit. Now, I don't do love stories very well, do I, love? But actually, Deuteronomy is a book which talks about loving God with everything. And as we remind ourselves of the goodness of God, it's out of his love that he does these things for us. This is what Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 says. We're called to love God, love him fully and completely with, and listen to the emphasis, all your heart. Not just a bit. All your heart. All your soul and all your strength. That's just about everything, isn't it? That's the sound that comes out through Deuteronomy. This command to love God with everything. And like I said, by the time a couple of thousand years later that Jesus is here, actually the Jewish people, some of them, have made this link between loving God and the call to love your neighbor, which comes through in Leviticus 19, verse 18, this call to love your neighbor. Because when Jesus, in Luke 10 and Mark 12, a guy comes up to Jesus and says, starts to talk to him, and Jesus says, what's the greatest commandment? And at that point, this guy, this scholar, had put together these two, love God and love your neighbor. And the sound of loving God and the sound of loving your neighbor are at the very center, right from the earliest times in the book of Deuteronomy, this love story that God is singing over us. So here's some questions just to finish with. How's your love for God? I started this series by saying it's good every so often to measure ourselves, our growth line. How's your growth in Him? And it's just good to remind ourselves of actually, how is your love for God? How is it? How's your love for others? Not just the lovely ones. And there's lots of lovely ones. But actually, how is your love for the not very lovely ones? How is your love for them? The marginalized, the homeless, etc. How is your love for them? Just as the kids come back, I just want us to be quiet for a moment. And let's pray. Father, thank you that you are faithful. You always have been, you always will be, and you are today, Lord. You're faithful. And Lord, whatever the situations are that we have cried out to you for today, whatever miracles it is that we need, Father, we turn to a God who is faithful, a God who is secure, a God who is our rock, but more than that, a God who is able to do all of this and immeasurably more. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for being with us this morning, for taking us in the direction that you wanted to go. Would you stir our faith this morning? Would you remind us of those moments where you've broken into our lives or the lives of others in a way which no one can deny, where we saw you Lord, thank you that you love people so much. Amen. Okay, so Heidi's already mentioned baptisms next week. We are very excited about those. And there's a couple of just bits of family news just to share with you. Anil, some of you will remember Anil, actually. He's been here, he's been part of us. He's not well at the moment, his legs are swollen up. We're talking to him about getting him into the tank, etc. So just pray for him. He's in the Manor Hospital at the moment. We need to pray for Jill Perry. Where's Jill? Lovely, lovely to see you, Jill. And we need to pray for Jill because Jill's got some results this week that we just want to really pray for together. And if there's anyone else who needs prayer, or if there's anyone here who feels that something that was spoken this morning, and can I just say thank you to all those people who got up here and shared words with us. If there's anything that was shared that you want just to be prayed over you, or if you've come this morning and God has spoken to you, don't leave without being prayed for. So I'm going to ask if we could have Jill and anyone else, and you know who you are, just to come over here now. Jill, if you could do that. I'm going to kick those three lovely guys off. Well, now they can stay and they can pray for Jill. Wonderful. They're waiting. They're waiting. Okay. And let's just pray, guys. Let's just stand together just as we close. And if you need prayer this morning, if you just feel that God has spoken to you in any way, just come over here. We're going to get round Jill. We're going to get round you. If we can have anyone from the prayer team or anyone who just prays to come and pray. So let's just pray as we just finish. And the praying over here is going to start and it's going to carry on. So, but let's pray. Father, faithful one, we turn to you. We turn to you. Because you are the one who split the sea. You are the one who opened the rock. Lord, and it's out of love for people. And Lord, you did those things, and sometimes in our hearts we say, yeah, but it's never going to happen for me. Lord, would you give us faith? Your word says, if we lack faith, to ask for faith. So Lord, where we lack faith, we ask for it. And your word says, just the size of a mustard seed, the faith we need to say, mountain, move into the sea. Lord, would you give us that faith again? Would you give us eyes to see what you're capable of and a heart to believe? In the name of Jesus, amen.